Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A question that some have been asking this past week is, where were you? Many know what this question means without further explanation. Implied is, where were you on September 11th, 2001, 20 years ago yesterday? If you were more than a few years old, I'm sure you can recall. And perhaps you may even remember quite vividly. You may even remember some of your initial reactions, some of your initial thoughts and feelings. I was at my second day of class at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Suddenly, in the middle of our liturgy class, another professor walks into the classroom to talk briefly with my professor, and my professor, who was the dean of the chapel. Our professor didn't say anything, although you could tell that something had happened, and he did dismiss us a few minutes early from class so that we could move on to the next thing on our schedule, which was chapel. And when we were dismissed, there was certainly a flurry of discussion. Some somehow had heard, maybe through a text message or by checking their email. Others had heard, like me, from just people talking about it on our way into the chapel. The preacher appointed for that day was the senior pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in downtown Fort Wayne. He scrapped whatever he had written and prepared for a sermon and preached a fantastic sermon in its place in light of those events that were going on. And after lunch, I was sitting in a waiting room at an auto body shop because I was getting an estimate for damage done to my car. I had attended that same church, St. Paul's Lutheran, that Sunday, and after the service, one of the elders, not seeing me, backed into my car, and so then I had to get that repaired. And what was going on in the waiting room? There was a TV that was on, and the only topic being aired were the tragic events of that day, commentators and what they were saying about it, and everyone's eyes were glued to the television. That following Sunday saw a great spike in church attendance across the nation. Many were fearful for our country and for our individual safety, and many were fearful of what the future would bring. Even today, many are fearful as the Taliban in Afghanistan may again harbor terrorists who could launch attacks on American soil. Many are fearful of what COVID-19 or its variants may do. Many are fearful of what could happen to our country if it chooses to continue with its unrestrained spending. Many are fearful about the rises among communist countries gaining power. Many are fearful about the advances in Islam and its oppressive ways in various countries across the globe. Many are fearful over the possibility of, say, identity theft. Many are fearful of strangers who may do evil things against us and our loved ones. And many are fearful as they witness moral decay taking place all across our country. That list of things that make people afraid is seemingly endless. And that's exactly where Satan wants you to be, to dwell on them, and to cower in fear. He wants you to think that he has the upper hand. But instead of letting the devil win, we turn to God in prayer. We pray, O Lord, we implore you, let your continual pity cleanse and defend your church. And because she cannot continue in safety without your aid, preserve her evermore by your help and goodness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Those words sounded familiar. It's because we had just prayed them. Those words served as the collect of the day today. What the collect of the day is intended to do is to collect the theme that is found in the scripture lessons and make a petition before our Lord. I encourage you to take your bulletins home each Sunday so that they can serve as a basis for prayer, so that you can pray for those who are printed on the back of our bulletin, and so that you can also pray the collect of the day on a daily basis. Today's collect certainly summarizes our gospel reading, and it directs our hearts and our minds away from the things that may cause fear and toward our refuge and our strength, who is God himself. Yet today's collect also acknowledges the daily troubles that we face. The church cannot continue in safety without God's aid, and that we need God's continual cleansing and defending. I think people become anxious because of the reality that we cannot continue in safety without God's aid. They see how bad things are. For it is true, we live in a very fallen world. And this all provides people with plenty of opportunities to worry. And that's why the collect continues saying, "Preserve her evermore by your help and goodness." You see, God is good. Our anxieties will never lessen until we realize that reality, that God is good. And since God is good, this means that he will provide for us, as he teaches in today's gospel. Your Father in heaven knows exactly that which you need. He knows what you need, for he loves you. He knows that you need food and clothing. He knows that, and because he knows that you need these things, he therefore grants them to you. And as our Good Shepherd teaches us in today's gospel, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now that rhetorical question is intended to serve as a way for Jesus to say, look, your life is more than the physical needs of your life. You have spiritual needs too. That's why you are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these physical needs will be added to you. But if we listen to the sentence, apart from its context, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing, you might think, well, of course it is. And that's why I'm anxious about things beyond food and clothing. I have those things, and I know God has been supplying them to me. Instead, what may make me anxious is lacking this other thing beyond food and clothing. Or what may make me anxious, what may cause me to worry, is not knowing the future. And when we fall into that line of thinking, we must carefully consider what Jesus is teaching us today. In fact, what he teaches us throughout the scriptures, that God demonstrates how he will take care of our entire lives, from cradle to the grave, from body to our soul. He is there. And he is for us in every way, shepherding us, loving us, blessing us, and granting us a peace which the world cannot give. After Adam and Eve had sinned, God not only gave them clothing, but he also promised them his son who would come to take away their sin so that they would be reconciled to God and receive the gift of eternal life. What this does is it shows the very heart of God. This compassion and this love were not only poured out on those first human beings after they first sinned, but these things are poured out on you by God even today. For God is for you and with you. In today's gospel, Jesus gives us many reasons why we should cast our anxieties on him, and why we need not be anxious. The first thing that Jesus points out is we cannot serve two masters. Either we will serve God or we will serve money, that is mammon. When money becomes our first love, we will be filled with all sorts of anxiety, for we will become anxious to obtain it. And then, if God blesses us with having obtained money, we will become anxious that we may lose it. We'll be anxious if it could potentially be stolen, or if it could potentially be evaporated from, say, inflation or our investment choices. But if we serve God, we will know that money does not provide happiness, that it will not provide for us anxiety, because it's simply a gift of God, nor will those things of mammon provide security. For when we serve God, we will know that only God, our loving Lord, will provide for our needs. After all, Jesus says our Heavenly Father feeds the birds of the air. And so if he can take care of the smallest sparrow, he will certainly take care of you. And unlike the sparrow, you are the apple of God's eye. He has granted to you a soul so that you can live eternally. He has sent his son not to be a sparrow or a lily, but he sent his son to be a human, one of us, so that Jesus can redeem us humans from our sin and grant us access to everlasting life. Jesus became man so that he can die on the cross in our place and to grant us the free gift of everlasting salvation. Through Jesus, we are reconciled to our Father. In fact, everything that belongs to God the Son now belongs to us, for we are now members of God's family. In our gospel, Jesus asks, which of you can be, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? That is, Jesus reasons with our hearts. He asks, how can worry, how can anxiety extend your life? What good or what purpose does it serve? After all, the Lord of life has determined already when we would be born, and so we were, and he determines when he will take us into his eternal kingdom, that is, when we will breathe our last. If he has determined them and knows them, foreknew these things, we can certainly then know that he has determined what our future will bring, and that he has determined for us the good blessings that we have in Christ. After all, he created us, and he has already promised us the blessing of living eternally with perfect bodies when Jesus returns in glory. This, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is what we should be seeking: the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The things of this world, as nice as they may be, provide no lasting comfort or pleasure. But God's kingdom grants us peace with God right now, the confident hope of eternal life in which we will dwell with him in perfection forever. Seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness ought not be something that we save until after we have lived what we feel is a fulfilling worldly life. Instead, it ought to begin right away upon birth. For when a child is born, it is good when parents bring that child to God's kingdom by bringing that child to baptism. For in baptism, we are adopted as God's own children. And if we belong to him as God's children, God will certainly take care of us. This then continues as parents teach their children the Christian faith, modeling in faith not only Christian behavior, but especially Christian activity. What this means is that parents are to bring their children to church and to send them to Sunday school and our Wednesdays with the Word, to catechism instruction, and, perhaps even most important, ensuring continued Christian instruction after confirmation. This also means praying with our children at mealtime and before going to bed. This means reading the scriptures or retelling the Bible stories with our children. This means fulfilling the words of Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it is written, "These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That way the proverb may be fulfilled, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The importance of this training cannot be overemphasized. Consider how much anxiety would be lessened when children learn through their parents that the ways of the Lord and his good promises are the right way, as opposed to learning all the things that make up mammon. When we allow our busy lives to take priority over our hearing of the word and learning of the word, we are then allowing mammon to be our master. And Jesus says, you cannot serve God and mammon. That is a dangerous path, and therefore we must always be on our guard, living a life of repentance, for we are always tempted to serve mammon. We repent, clinging firmly to Christ our Savior, who covers us with his very righteousness and promises to us a better life, the way of Christ and the way of eternal life and salvation. As vividly as we may remember September 11th, let us remember the words of Christ and the way of salvation even more vividly. Let us not hide in fear, but fulfill our daily vocations in joyful faith, knowing that Christ will take care of us and that he will shepherd us to our heavenly home. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.